There is a difference between being right and being right. I know you're saying, you said the same thing, but please hear me well. There is a difference between being right, that is, being correct, and being right. There are a variety of ways in which we can be bent over in life. I mean, something can happen to our back, and it can bend us over. And physically, we can be bound by some kind of physical infirmity. But there are many more ways in which we can be hunkered down, weighed down, pulled down. These things may not be physical. They may be mental, emotional, or physical. But they can bend us nonetheless. Our attitudes, the ways in which we face things, can deform us just as surely as something called arthritis. And by the way, when they did that MRI on my knee, in addition to the finding that tear in the tendon, they also discovered that, guess what? Someone by the name of Arthur is there too. Some of you know what I'm talking about. There's a difference between being right and being right. This particular scripture lifts that up. Because in it we see persons who are bent. One very obvious to the eye. For 18 years she has been deformed by some kind of ailment. It does not go into detail. It could have been arthritis. We don't know. It really doesn't matter. But she is not the only one in this story who is bent down. I mean, this is a very simple healing story. Healing, I know, is very complicated, but at its heart, it is very simple. Healing is a matter of being set free. And I know that when it comes to healing, there are a variety of ways of being set free. We, for instance, may be facing some debilitating disease. We may have chronic pain. A number of us deal with this. We may not have these things taken away from us, and yet we can still be set free, such that we are no longer bent over. Oh, well, physically we may be, but our spirits, our minds, our hearts can stand tall. In this story, as we have received it, Jesus takes notice. Perhaps this woman has been there all along, that nobody else even saw her anymore. That's sort of like it is when you have been living among people for so long. And that's a good thing, that people don't see your debilitation. They don't see your disease. They don't see the ways in which you are bent over anymore. That may be a good thing. But Jesus saw, and he did something about it. He set her free. It's very simple. A few words and a touch. And then the rest of the story is a focus upon the debilitation of other people. People who are bent over by the need to be right. And I think this is something we all may struggle with. The need to be right. That may mean to be correct, and I've got the right theology, the right interpretation of the Bible, the proper ways things should be done in course of worship or life. Or it may just be the need to not be able to admit when we make a mistake. How many of us have a struggle being able to say, I was wrong, or I really didn't do that right? Recently, I had someone send me a message. He just discovered that my wife and I had been separated for over a year. And he sent me a message saying, what happened? I confess that I didn't respond to that message because this person really hadn't been a part of my life for quite a while. And I didn't really think it was any of his business. Not long thereafter, I got another message from this person and said, well, I talked to Karen. Now I want to hear your side. I had the same thought, only this time I responded and said, I tried to be as nice as possible, but just said, I don't think that's any of your business. And I shared a few things, but not much. Instead of coming back to me and saying, oh, I guess I made a mistake, he kept responding, defending what he had done. Because what he had done had kind of been a breach. He had stepped over a line. A line that's very easy to step over. I mean, in relationships, knowing where that line is between us that we ought not to cross is not an easy thing to figure out. But we have this marvelous gift that I would call confession that helps us move past our need to be right. Because for many of us, when we transgress a boundary, we have a real hard time saying, I'm sorry. We're saying, I messed up. Confession allows us to be able to do that. And confession, from a Christian perspective, allows us to do that in the context of our relationship with God. We can be bent over by our need to be right. Now, in this morning's story, we have the leader of the synagogue in which this woman was healed. This woman who was bent over for 18 years. And he was really concerned about this healing happening on the Sabbath day. It's not supposed to happen like that. You know, there are 6 other days of the week in which healing should happen, but not on the Sabbath. And yes, his concern was valid. There is a need for rest. You know, if God needed resting after 6 days of creation, certainly that is something that might be good for us too. But we can be so bent over by that need to be right that we fail to see what Sabbath is truly all about. Sabbath is about setting us free. God's Sabbath is about freeing us up from our need to work. so that we have a day, if you will, to play, to rest, to pay attention to the things that are really important. Not that our work is unimportant, but sometimes we get lost amid the trees and don't see the entire forest. And that's what Sabbath is all about. I don't know how many of you are old enough that you understand what I mean when I say blue laws. Do you know? Okay. Younger ones, do you know what I'm talking about? The blue laws, I don't know. I guess it would be a whole other story to figure out why they were called blue laws. But basically, they were laws set aside to make Sunday a day of rest, that stores would not open, people would not work. Now, as time went on, these laws became quite oppressive. First of all, it didn't recognize that we all have different days of Sabbath. Like our Jewish friends, for instance, celebrated on Saturday. That's their Sabbath. But, you know, Sunday, the Christian Sabbath, so why is Sunday different from Saturday? A lot of different meanings behind that. But one of the reasons why the blue laws came into existence to start with were to set people free from the burden of work. Because in the late 1800s, with the Industrial Revolution, people were being forced to work 7 days a week. If you are a person who runs a huge factory, a steel mill, for instance, you cannot let your steel mill cool down. You lose profit, you lose money, you lose power if you let it cool down. So you make it run sometimes even 24 hours a day. As much as you can to make as much profit as you can. The Industrial Revolution in our country brought about a change to the family that nothing we're talking about today about the breakdown of the family and the things that lead to it have to compare. Because factory life pulled apart the family in ways that today's thing don't pull apart the family. For one thing, once upon a time, families existed intergenerationally, sort of like camp out at Wilbur Stover. Families were together. It wasn't just mother, father, and 2.5 kids. The nuclear family. It was extended family, all living together. But when factories came into business, dads were especially, and in some cases mothers as well, for the sewing factories and things, they were pulled out of the family and forced to work 7 days a week. The blue laws, as they originally came into existence, were there to make sure that people had a day off when factories couldn't insist that people work. It's getting at that sense of what Sabbath is all about, time set aside. But these very laws can become oppressive. Meant to set free, they can make captive. And that's certainly the truth here in this story about Jesus. The leader of the synagogue is bent over in his need to be right. And Jesus points out the obvious. He is not necessarily comparing this woman with a donkey, but pointing out that perhaps this leader and others like him in the need to be right are treating this woman less than they would their donkey or their dog. Now, we don't know the rest of the story. Like all the stories of Jesus, there's more here that we're not told. We don't know what happened after this. We don't know whether there was that moment in this person or that person's life when they let go of that need to be right and got straightened up and were able to stand. But that's certainly the invitation behind the story. For that is what Sabbath is really all about. Because life bends us over. Not just arthritis, not just some other disease, not something medical, but sometimes life itself pushes us down. And we need to be able to straighten up. And God is a part of that straightening up process. Just like God is a part of Sabbath. Sabbath is not just a matter of taking a vacation. Sabbath is resting in God. Setting aside our frantic need to get things done. Just as surely as it is setting aside our need to be right. For at its heart, in Sabbath, we are brought into a right relationship with our God and with one another. But that takes time. To just sit and to be and experience on a weekly basis the recreating power of the God we worship, who, after he had spent 6 days working, even God sat down and rested. Be set free today, for this is our Sabbath day.